Good evening, and thanks for joining us on The Week in Review. I'm Amanda Vinicky. Chicago has long been in President Donald Trump's crosshairs, but the Department of Justice is taking it to another level, withdrawing funding and suing the state, city of Chicago, and Cook County for allegedly interfering with immigration enforcement. Governor J.B. Pritzker says, game on.
We are tough, we are strong, and Donald Trump has no idea what he's up against when he attacks Illinois.
It's the latest legal fight. The state's now in court with the Trump administration over immigration, transgender rights, and a funding freeze. Trump's also dangling the prospect of tariffs with Illinois' major trading partners.
We don't need them for the cars. We don't need them for lumber. We don't need them for anything. We don't need them for energy. We have more energy than they do.
Stressing out Illinois contractors, manufacturers, breweries, and restaurants.
Things from aluminum to barley to plastic to you name it. There's all kinds of things that go into making and packaging beer.
We need to have produce in quantities that aren't necessarily available domestically, and we need that produce to be affordable.
Mayor Brandon Johnson agrees to walk into the fire, says next month he'll defend Chicago's welcoming city ordinance before a congressional committee. Johnson also says he wants a revote on the Bring Chicago Home real estate tax.
To respond to the unhoused crisis that we have in America, in order for us to do that, we need revenue. It's just that simple.
A debate over a controversial piece of art at the Cultural Center leads to an alderman's ejection, a pre-election power struggle in South Suburban Dalton, and they aren't in the Super Bowl, but with the Bears matriarchs passing and a hunt for a new stadium, the Bears are very much in play. And now to our Week in Review panel. Joining us are Rufus Williams from WVON, Becky Vivi from Chalk Beat Chicago, Melody Mercado from Block Club Chicago, and Justin Lawrence of Crane's Chicago Business. Now let's get to it. Melody, I'm going to begin with you. The Department of Justice suing Illinois and Chicago, seeking to invalidate the laws that restrict police from cooperating with ICE. What is the legal argument here?
The legal argument is that the sanctuary city status for both Illinois, Cook County, and Chicago is interfering with the federal government's ability to carry out what they say is the law and be able to carry out their duties specifically with ICE. As we've heard, Governor Pritzker basically said, game on, and he believes that the state will be able to uphold its sanctuary city status and that it's not going anywhere.
Justin, this has been tried before, right?
Yes, and it is first term, right? And under former Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the city fought that back. I don't know that that necessarily means it's automatic that it gets thrown out again, right? Our judicial system is decided by people. It depends on the judge that it's before and how far the Trump administration wants to take it. But I don't know that that's the legal argument part of this is just one part of it, right? But the Trump administration has thrown out lots of things in the first couple weeks of his term, and the chaos and everybody scrambling to figure out what it means for them is, I believe, part of the reason that they're doing it.
The sanctuary law has also been revised since that successful overcoming of it. And strengthened and changed, and so you've got completely different sort of legal arguments now.
And then beyond the law, there's just this common sense part of this, right? So Governor Abbott sends all these immigrants here, and then comes the push to get all the immigrants out, and then the conversations around the law, which seems to be much of the setup for something bad, so you can come in and do something about what you've otherwise done.
So this is all a scheme by Trump, or?
We'll see a lot more of this. I mean, you talk about how bad everything is, and you're the only one who could fix it when you've created the issues in the first place. So we look at all the things that were talked about during the campaign about how bad the country is, how bad these things are, and it was an overstatement in so many ways about so many things, and only I can fix it. And so it kind of looks like it's fixed, except it's not. And, you know, we still can't miss the fact that whether it's bird flu or whatever else, my eggs cost $8 when I went to the store the other day.
$8? Where are you shopping?
Okay, Whole Foods.
They're still expensive at Aldi.
They are
very
going up.
And
so is this distracting folks from the inflation situation?
There's been a lot of flooding of the zone. And so a lot of the things that are really impacting people personally are not things that have been dealt with, as we see. It's been impacted. It's been going in the other direction. And so a lot of these pieces that you start to see that they're really pushing on aren't the things that people really care about, whether you voted for him or not.
And so, Becky, what should Illinois businesses and residents be mindful of, knowing there's this flood the zone strategy, and we do have tariffs that were floated and then they're on pause for 30 days? Are you changing your calculus?
I mean, I think some of this, as Rufus mentions, is by design to sort of blitz. I mean, President Trump has not even been in office a month. And so he's signed how many executive orders? This lawsuit is another part of this strategy to sort of throw everything kind of down, like the gauntlet down. And so I think, you know, it's hard to tell, like, what is going to have, like, a long-term or sort of the most trickle-down impact. But certainly this lawsuit is one that I think people, you know, need to pay attention to, because it could shift just sort of the policies on the ground.
And huge funding ramifications also on the line. Yeah. Now, Justin, before this lawsuit came down, Mayor Johnson, after thinking about it for a stretch, committed to testifying before the House Oversight Committee about Chicago's welcoming city ordinance. Should this change that, or have you heard if it will?
As far as I know, it is not. That's the first question I asked the mayor's office, or one of the two yesterday. They have not said that they will not attend. I have to imagine that they're at least considering whether or not to attend now. But remember, part of the reason I think that his law department was reviewing the invitation, and they finally committed to going, I think part of that was because they were worried that rather just accept an invitation than be subpoenaed and go through that whole dramatic show. So I don't know that this has changed, but I think maybe
you're waiting to hear. They haven't committed, yeah, stakes are different, and a lot of times we hear government officials saying, "I can't answer that because there's a legal situation." That said, given how many lawsuits Illinois and Chicago are going to be part of, it seems from these executive orders, we couldn't ask about very much if we held off on everything. And so, speaking of Rufus, what do you make of how the governor and the mayor are handling this? They both seem to say, "We've got the grit. We're not going to back down."
You know, it's been interesting how many people have gone otherwise and kissed the ring. And that seems to be the kind of fealty, the kind of loyalty that's being looked for from Washington. But the reality is there are some things that people just simply shouldn't do. And there's got to be a different way to come at it. So here, we are a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary state. We have been. We're not the only one. Chicago was identified early for whatever the reasons. It could be because we have a billionaire governor. It could be because there are issues with whatever the mayor is and issues with Rahm Emanuel, who had been mayor before. There could be a lot of reasons why Chicago has been identified, but it has been. And I think for the things that you stand firmly about, you stand firmly about. And I think that they're in the right place.
And that is a question in terms of why Chicago, why Illinois, that I don't believe we have a straight answer to. I do want to play a clip from Governor Pritzker, who is taking this track, and he made a special announcement on social media.
The world's finest geographers, experts who study the Earth's natural environment, have concluded a decades-long council and determined that a great lake deserves to be named after a great state. So today, I'm issuing a proclamation declaring that hereinafter, Lake Michigan shall be known as Lake Illinois.
All right, Melody, that's clearly his coming at Trump for renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Right. Is this funny, antagonistic? Neither?
I think it's very cringy. I think that the constituents in Illinois would rather see the governor and the mayor continue to stand up for people's rights here, and instead of kind of engaging on silliness on social media. That has been my personal take on it. Initially, I thought it was a serious announcement when I saw it on my feed before coming to the studio, and then I was like, okay. Turning it off.
Not at all a serious announcement, but it did have that flag. It certainly called my attention as well when I first saw it. Is this the sort of thing that could backfire? Again, as you're talking about sort of a lot of folks getting closer, trying to be business players, the tech industry, sort of kissing the ring. By Chicago and Illinois going the opposite, is this going to hurt the city and state, Becky?
Well, to the extent that they engage in these, again, these distractions, if you will, and the flooding the zone on stuff that's like going to tie people up from actually getting to policies and difficult legislation or governance that actually impacts people's lives, like that would be detrimental. And to me, it's like there's this engagement between the politics and the political parties right now that if you spend too much time engaging in that, you're not leaving time and energy to focus on what actually matters. And it, I think, will give the broader public the, you know, yet another excuse to sort of tune out or disconnect or not engage.
Make light of
or write off the country's government as dysfunctional and not doing anything for their real lives.
And let's remember this. I believe it was his political side that put this video out, right? Mm-hmm. They've had the, both him and Mayor Johnson have had their official responses to these Trump actions, but I think both of their teams, political teams, have made a calculation that it's good for them politically to be so out front of maybe other leaders across the country and being defiant of Trump. And, you know, certainly people are criticizing them and saying, hey, that's putting the target on our backs. I don't know that that's necessarily true. We've been, Chicago and Illinois has been target of Trump for a decade now. I don't know if anything changed with their comments, but their political aspirations here are playing into how they're responding to
this. Something that we hear constantly from Illinois Republicans, that this is just Governor Pritzker making an early run for president. Melody.
Right, of course. And I think it's also could be a ruse to get a reaction out of Trump. We know that he's on social media. We know he reads every tweet. He looks at every mention. So if anything, it will get under his skin. We could see a reaction to that. But I also think that the Democrats need to decide which battles that they want to fight when it comes to engaging in social media in this way. We saw Vice President Kamala Harris when she was running for president, and she had a TikTok account. And I would say a lot of that was kind of parody response, kind of similar to what we saw with Governor Pritzker. And obviously, Harris did not win the presidential race, and I think it's been kind of a wake-up call for Democrats to kind of think, okay, do we need to rethink our approach on this whole how we engage and when do we do it?
Somebody for whom this might be working on social media, though, is former Governor Rufus. We have Rod Blagojevich, who is famously actually Milo Rod, Serbian descent, perhaps becoming the ambassador to Serbia?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting who gets around this current president. And I hadn't heard what Governor Blagojevich had been doing for some time. So now here comes.
Besides running in Ravenswood. Everybody knows that.
And my listeners don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's happening in Ravenswood. So, you know, he'll be ambassador to Serbia, whatever that means.
Perhaps.
Whatever that
not
is,
confirmed.
Perhaps.
Anybody, is this fair for a former convict, especially in light of January 6th pardons? Sure.
Well, I guess if you can say we have a convicted Ellen in office currently, is it in line to what people voted for? I think that's a question.
Let's move on to the mayor, because during a special town hall actually here at WTTW earlier this week, Mayor Johnson said he wanted a redo at the Bring Chicago Home vote that would charge a higher tax on real estate transactions, at least those that are of $1 million or more. So, Becky, why would this be different a second time around?
I mean, perhaps he's thinking that the political climate will shift as we see a lot of, you know, again, the now with the new administration in office, sometimes people in the American public, by the time they're asked to go back to the ballot box, they pick whatever's the opposite of what's in office. He did see that measure defeated pretty definitively last spring in the primary. And so I think the question is, would voters have any sort of different take now? And is the message that we need to have this tax in order to address homelessness and the housing crisis, does he have more time to make that case? I'm not sure.
I want to add.
Is he serious about this?
Well, yes. So on your airwaves, he said, we want a different turnout when we seek this again. Mm-hmm. And that was a day before a press conference, and we all asked him, when are you going to seek this? And when very quickly became an if we seek this again. I haven't decided. I will speak with our partners. I don't think he's going to stop talking about that, right? Especially in light of the budget season. Mm-hmm. This is a way to say, hey, if you don't like property taxes, we need other sources of revenue. Why are you blocking my attempts to raise it? Remember, he has to get city council approval for a resolution to put this on the ballot. I think that would be very difficult given his current relationship with the council, but I don't think he's going to drop talking about this as the way forward.
Yeah, the sources of revenue issue is big for the city of Chicago. We've got a number of issues and no way to pay for those issues. So as this became one of the ways in which to bring in revenue, he will continue to look for things, even if there were things that have been cast aside before, when people still see the magnitude of the problems and the fact that we need revenues to solve them.
There's a very organized, though, the folks who defeated the Bring Chicago Home referendum, there's a pretty organized group of folks in the business community that led that opposition, and they also defeated Governor Pritzker's progressive income tax. Like, a lot of the same groups were behind that, and so I think unless you can figure out how to overcome that opposition a third time on they're not the exact same measures, obviously, but both progressive proposals, trying to overcome that well-organized opposition.
Clear.
Yeah, so you almost have to just rely on, again, a different set of voters or different turnout or a shifting in public opinion.
Yeah, different turnout. It would be good if we really got the feel of what people really want, because we're still low all the time in turnout, so we don't know.
Yeah. And you mentioned different voters. It was a
primary,
right?
So if they could put it on a ballot during a general election.
Stronger, more people out, more people engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. And 2026, we're going to see, the governor on the ballot again. We'll see school board elections are going to happen again in 2026. We're going to be electing the whole school board.
So, Becky, speaking of, I wanted to stick with you in terms of because we have also funding issues for Chicago Public Schools. Now there is that half a point of board still trying to settle a contract, and a third party arbitrator came out with a report. Give us the main takeaway.
Yeah, so this is a part of state law. They brought in a third party arbitrator to take a look at the proposals on both sides, where the sticking points were, and this arbitrator kind of went one by one and laid out what they saw as a path to compromise. Interesting, sided with the union on a few things, saying, yes, I think you should hire more librarians every year of this contract, but sided with the board, importantly, on a number of the annual raises, sided with the board on the amount of staffing for counselors and case managers, who are people who work with students with disabilities. So that report laid out ideas and a path to a settlement, but because the union rejected it, the two basically go back to the bargaining table and continue bargaining. But that report also, kind of importantly in the past, has started this statutory clock toward a strike. Now both sides, including the union, have said, we're not there. We don't think that we're gonna have to go on strike, but certainly, kind of hopefully there's a bit of a breakthrough after this report has come through, but we'll
Rufus,
see.
You look like you want to weigh in.
Well, this is one of the few times that you heard about them being in negotiations, and we haven't heard up until now the notion of a strike. But it does trigger everything so that they can, and they get into that position that it's possible. And the things, to your point, I mean, they've gotten through the economic parts, at least from the arbitrator, that they seem to agree on what the board can or cannot, what the system can or cannot afford. But the whole notion about the possibility of them going on strike for the things that are there, how do those things ever get resolved?
Right, there seems so much intractable after these long negotiations. There was also a lot of formality in the city council chamber. So take us there. This was a committee hearing on a piece of art that is in the city's cultural center, so taxpayer funded, and critics say that this is anti-Semitic. What's the uproar?
The particular hearing was about, again, if this really belongs in a city tax-funded space. Again, a lot of proponents for the art piece say that it falls under First Amendment, free speech, and at the end of the day, the individuals associated with DCASE and the panel that chose the art piece mentioned it had scored one of the highest, and multiple people. It wasn't just like one person that made the decision to put it up there. It went through multiple different layers of of like checking, I guess you would say, to officially put it in the cultural center. But things really got heated when Alderman Bill Conway was really pressing the DCASE commissioner with how the process was to put the art piece in the cultural center. And then Alderman Sichko Lopez kind of weighed in, and they got into a heated argument to where Alderman Sichko Lopez said the word white supremacist, and people all took that to mean that he was calling Alderman Conway a white supremacist. So it was very heated. Alderman Sichko Lopez ended up having to get escorted out of the chamber. Conway, Sichko Lopez ended up making up in the back of the chambers. And said that apologies were said, that Sichko Lopez says it was not directed at him. He sort of said it in the heat of the moment, that he was frustrated that it was about a four-hour-long hearing on something that
that is a long hearing.
Yeah, on something that he believes is established through First Amendment rights.
So fissures in the city council always popping up, but then coming back together. Not so much in Dalton. We have the polls actually opening next week for early voting, and we have only a couple minutes left, but what is the drama over in Dalton? Because there's a lot.
It is drama. This little village gets a whole lot of attention, doesn't it? There is the polls open on Monday. The election is on the 25th, just 2 weeks, but there's long been pretty much since Mayor Hinyard's been elected. People have been concerned about what's been going on in Dalton. Mayor Lightfoot did a report out to the community about the spending there, and they
racking it up at a big deficit in a short time.
Big deficits over, in a short time, and really for people to really understand what is going on in Dalton with respect to the finances. And you know, the mayor didn't show up to that hearing. There was a big fight. And the day after, the mayor was involved.
A literal fight, a brawl.
A literal fist were thrown. Someone suggested, I think it was the mayor's attorney, suggested that someone had a knife. The mayor left and went and got into the brawl. Her boyfriend has now been relieved of his responsibilities in Dalton. It is a city in chaos. And hopefully when they get through the next election, it will be less chaotic in Dalton.
And maybe less media attention. I do believe there is a federal investigation going on as well. Before we run out the clock, before the Super Bowl, we've got to turn some attention to football, especially as we have the matriarch of the Bears and really of the NFL, Virginia McCaskey, passing away this week. Justin, what does that mean for the team?
You know, I don't know that it means a ton immediately that we know. As we've reported, you know, every year the teams have to give the NFL sort of their own succession plan, right? Here's how we'll divvy up the shares. But it, like any family business, when this actually does happen, then maybe kind of internecine disputes over ownership bubbles up to the surface. I don't know that it means anything for the stadium pursuit per se. You know, she was backing the Kevin Warren, who's really leading that. So I think as long as he's in place, this stadium drama doesn't really go away.
In our last 30 seconds, because the mayor, you asked him about this as well. Yes. He's sticking by the Lakefront Stadium.
Yeah, so it was kind of surprising. He is, to be more specific, he is sticking by a plan that is all but dead on arrival in Springfield. So it's strange to really highlight a plan that there's no upside. He's
why is he doing it?
Because he I think he wants to defend himself for being so in support of it originally. Like, he's downplaying the idea that these are subsidies because hotel, you know, guests pay, the visitors, tourists pay this, not regular Chicago taxpayers. It's still taxpayer money. It's a subsidy. I don't quite understand why he's still backing this.
And that is our game clock. So our thanks to Rufus Williams, Becky Vivi, Melody Mercado, and Justin Lawrence. We will be back to wrap things up right after this.
Tonight's presentation of Chicago Tonight, Week in Review, is made possible in part by Ann and Rich Carr, BNSF Railway, Francine and Dr. Anthony Brown, and the Mullenhauer Progressive Philanthropic Fund, in honor of Ida Mullenhauer, supporting quality journalism. Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family. The Polk Brothers Foundation. Additional support is provided by...
And that is our show for this Friday night. Check out our website for the latest from WTTW News. That includes a list of 5 arts and culture things to do this weekend. Now, for the Week in Review, I'm Amanda Vinicky. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a great night. All right, so speaking of the weekend, Super Bowl, and the Illinois Gaming Board this week made permanent rules that restrict what you can bet on, and it's no more on player injuries, penalties, or replay results.
Can you bet on, like, which friends Taylor Swift's going to bring?
I think that's right. It's mostly, from my understanding, it's mostly because they want to prevent any sort of ethical issues.
Okay.
Are these the sort of things that you...
No, I am
you
betting...
You want for the fun.
Friendly betting, not serious betting on the color of Tom Brady's tie. So
I think the whole thing around betting is really a point of concern, and it should be. With the additional casinos that are coming on, you can bet on pretty much every aspect of everything. Mm-hmm. And then they throw in at the bottom, if you have a gambling problem, well, I keep giving you alcohol and then ask, if you have an alcohol problem, then call someone. This is going to be
like
this
real
is a
investigations
societal problem.
Going on right now involving the NBA, college basketball.
Look at, of
those
course,
serious
baseball.
Ramifications are not going, right, the best player in baseball is involved in a scandal. So.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to be a multilingual law firm that provides translators for a variety of languages.